state Republican Party leaders haven't decided how or if to proceed on a proposal to close primary elections to non-party members. That's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition. I'm Conrad Scheid.
And I'm Corin Cates Carney. Two groups are asking a judge to block a timber project on almost 500 acres around the watershed that supplies most of Helena's drinking water.
And Flathead reporter Katrin Fry tells us about how the local workforce is faring these days. Conservative Republican who sponsored a successful resolution to close primary elections to non-party members during last week's convention wants a federal lawsuit filed now to get the process underway. However, party leaders say they have no timeline and haven't decided how they'll proceed. That isn't sitting well with resolution sponsor and House District 69 candidate Matthew Monferton. He says moderate party leaders are stalling because closed primaries threaten their chances for election. Montana Republican Party Executive Director Bowen Greenwood said party leaders are looking at options, but said the party is focused on the November 4th general election. He said he wouldn't recommend any action before that. Conservatives have claimed there were indications that Democrats crossed over to vote for more moderate candidates in some Republican primaries.
And in other news from around the state, conservation organizations are challenging Fish and Wildlife Service approval of a management plan to be implemented on 550,000 acres of state lands across western Montana. The plan to be implemented by the Montana Department of Natural Resources and Conservation would increase logging and road building in the habitat for threatened grizzly bears and bull trout. The nonprofit environmental firm Earth Justice is representing conservation groups Friends of the Wild Swan, Montana Environmental Information Center, and the Natural Resources Defense Council. District Court Judge Donna Malloy in Missoula heard arguments today. Earth Justice Attorney Tim Presso says the groups are challenging the insurance of a 50-year incidental take permit and approval of a plan to allow logging and road building throughout the region. Presso maintains the Fish and Wildlife Service has not done everything it can to minimize impacts of grizzly bears and bull trout. He points to northwest Montana's Stillwater State Forest as an area of concern.
The state has maintained it as a secure habitat for grizzly bears for quite some time, but under this permit, they're going to punch new roads into the area, they're going to log it, and the service said that that was essentially a wash for grizzly bears, that it was kind of a net zero in terms of whether it was going to be an adverse effect or not. And the reason they said that was because the service is going to seasonally restrict the use of the roads in the area. And their basic idea is that a forest with a bunch of roads running through it that are subject to seasonal closure signs is the same thing as a roadless forest. And we just don't think there's any support for that. The science doesn't support it.
Attorneys representing the state and federal government declined interview requests, but in court argued the plan uses the best available science and would be very limited adverse impacts. They also say it fulfills the state's fiduciary responsibility to schools. Presso wants the government to do that while maintaining a long-term environmental perspective.
Those lands are certainly to generate dollars for schools, but they're also to be managed in the public, long-term public interest of the state of Montana. And I think it's well recognized that preserving our wildlife populations is within the long-term public interest of the state of Montana.
The government says the network of 1,100 miles of new roads would produce far less sediment than older roads. An annual monitoring plan would be implemented to quickly catch and repair any problems. The environmental groups are not swayed, saying the additional sediment would be harmful to bull trout and their eggs. The conservation group says the proposed logging and road building activities would place additional threats on species already pressured by climate change. Judge Malloy did not issue a ruling today.
Two conservation groups are asking a federal judge to block a planned timber project on 490 acres around the watershed that supplies most of Helena's drinking water. Montana Ecosystems Defense Council and Native Ecosystems Council alleged the U.S. Forest Service violated environmental and endangered species protection laws in approving the project. The group says in the federal lawsuit filed today, the project will reduce habitat for threatened Canada lynx and cover for threatened grizzly bears and other big game species. They also claim the Forest Service did not analyze the effects of future logging in adjacent areas. The project is near the Red Mountain Flume that carries water to Chessman Reservoir about 10 miles outside Helena. Officials say a wildfire would threaten the 4.8-mile flume and could lead to sedimentation in the reservoir.
Attorneys for an order of nuns plan to talk to a judge today for a new round of negotiations to settle claims of child sex abuse by priests and nuns in Montana, a request that comes less than 3 weeks before the first trial. The first three plaintiffs who say they were abused as children in western Montana are scheduled to go to trial July 14th. Additional trials with similarly smaller groups of plaintiffs are planned, but not yet scheduled against the Ursuline Sisters of the Western Province. the Order of Nuns and the Roman Catholic Diocese of Helena are defendants in two lawsuits filed in 2011 on the behalf of 362 plaintiffs who say they were sexually abused in schools, churches, and orphanages across western Montana between the 1940s and 1970s. The diocese filed for bankruptcy reorganization in federal court earlier this year as part of a $15 million proposed settlement with the plaintiffs. The Ursulines are not participating in the settlement. The bankruptcy filing filed all claims against the diocese, but not those against the Order of Nuns. That means the abuse claims in one of the lawsuits at least 78 people who attended the St. Ignatius School run by the Ursulines or were parishioners at the St. Ignatius School are still headed to trial.
The U.S. Department of Labor awarded the state of Montana a $5.1 million grant today to give those who qualify as long-term unemployed the opportunity to earn money while learning skills they need to find a permanent job. The grant is part of a national program called Ready to Work Partnership, a $150 million fund for states looking to improve job training programs and employment services. Governor Steve Bullock says the grant will build upon the relationships that were established under a $25 million grant awarded last year that brought together 13 Montana colleges and more than 80 employers from around the state. Annie Glover, Director of Communications for the Montana Department of Labor, says last year's grant focused on education and training in manufacturing and energy fields to train students for jobs that are in high demand because of the Bakken oil boom. Glover says officials will use the $5 million grant to focus more on job seekers who've been unemployed for more than 27 weeks since the recession that lasted from December 2007 to June 2009.
They could be somebody who needs to find retraining, or it could be somebody who's already gone through that retraining, but they just haven't been able to find that local job that works for them, or maybe the training wasn't quite what they were looking for. And so this grant will provide those intensive job-seeking services for those folks, and it's really targeted towards that lingering problem of the long-term unemployed, which is just something that we've seen in Montana as well as across the nation, kind of the last reverberating effect from the recession, and this will really get to that issue.
Job seekers don't necessarily have to be looking for technical jobs, and Glover says that people who qualify for long-term unemployment should begin the application process as soon as possible.
Our job service folks generally know that job seekers are needing to get back to work because they need to get that paycheck right away. They need to start paying their bills. They need to get back on their feet, make sure they can support their families. And so they always act with a huge sense of urgency. And so I would recommend that folks just not delay. They can go ahead and go into the job service office and really get connected with services.
To learn more about the unemployment grant, contact local job services or the Montana Department of Labor's website.
Help wanted signs are hanging in windows across the Flathead. Unemployment dropped to its lowest since September 2008, and many job seekers can be a little pickier about what positions they're going out for. That's according to Flathead reporter Catherine Fry. Here's her look at the changes going on with the local workforce.
Director of the Career and Technical Education Center, Pete Wade, at Flathead Valley Community College says it's not quite the employees market of the boom years of the early 2000s, but it's not the employers market of the recession either, particularly for construction.
It's not so much so that all you have to be is sort of 97, 98 degrees and yes, you can get a job. I think it's a little bit more than that still, but I think there are more jobs.
Wade says trades programs they offer at the college include heavy equipment operations, commercial driver's licenses or CDLs, welding, machining, electrical training, industrial maintenance, and others. Right now, the Building Trades program is in moratorium for next year. Building Trades is the basics for building a house. Wade says they're not offering it next fall because there was zero interest from any would-be students. This despite the uptick in building and home construction across the Flathead Valley.
And it may be that people are getting jobs with the house construction companies without coming to school here. And I'm not sure if that's the case because some of the people in those industries say they would really like to hire somebody that had a year or two, but those people aren't coming here for a year or two of building trades.
Flathead Job Service Manager Bill Nelson says they're listing nearly 600 jobs available right now. The types of jobs range across the board from medical to service to construction. Local staffing agency LC Staffing echoes this, saying they have new job orders each week, especially for construction-related work, with wages ranging from $9 to $10 per hour at the lowest on up, depending on the type of job and the seeker's experience. Nelson says he's been hearing from employers that they're having a hard time finding employees. He says it could be a mismatch of skills, or it could be a question of wages. Wade says they've got enough graduates to fill a lot of the available jobs.
But there might be a better job offer from a different location. Better job offer means more money, better benefits, or a combination of the two. And a lot of young people, younger people, are going to take that one because they're not settled. They maybe don't have a mortgage, and a higher salary is pretty attractive. So they'll move.
Wade says 4 or 5 years ago, welding students were mostly heading to North Dakota because that's where the money was. He gives as an example the sons of FVCC's primary welding instructor and a heavy operations instructor.
Both their sons are working over in North Dakota in the oil fields. I don't know what they're making, but I think they're making, you know, a nice income. But I think ultimately both those kids' goal, and I think they're both young, early 20s, ultimately, this is where their families are. This is where their friends are. Ultimately, they want to come back here at some point.
Wade says this is something they're hearing from some graduates.
Thinking that maybe 5 years from now or maybe longer to get back to the Flathead. They'll try to get back to the Flathead. You know, they'll put something on their resume. They'll get something on their resume. They can come back to the Flathead if there's a job opening, and they can put on their resume some very cool, neat experience that they've had.
In the Occupational Trades Building on the FVCC campus, they have a list of local jobs, lots of driving, hauling positions, as well as equipment operation, work for machinists, electricians, and more. Nelson says the unemployment rate for the Flathead for May is 5.6%. It hasn't been that low since September of 2008. Last May, it hit 7%, with the highest rate in January of 2011 at 14%. Those are not seasonally adjusted numbers. Nelson also says the number of people in the workforce, those working or actively seeking jobs, went from a high of more than 50,000 in 2009 to 44,000 today. Katrin Frey reporting from the Flathead.
Secretary of State Linda McCullough has certified the results of Montana's 2014 primary election after a post-election audit of the vote-counting machines verified the tabulations in each county. The State Board of Canvassers met on June 10th to select random precincts and races for the post-election audit. Every county subject to the audit had to hand-count both the federal U.S. House race and state Supreme Court Justice seat number one for the precincts that were selected. Some counties also hand-counted a local legislative race. The state canvass was completed yesterday afternoon, making the results of the June 3rd primary official. The general election will be held on November 4th.
Joseph Campbell appeared in a brief hearing today in district court in Lewis and Clark County. The 68-year-old Campbell was arrested Monday in the October 18th slaying of 53-year-old Timothy Newman. Campbell told investigators he shot Newman in self-defense. Prosecutors say that version of events didn't match up with theirs and that Newman was fatally shot in the back. Campbell has been involved in disputes with neighbors for years over access of nearby public lands. District Judge Kathy Seeley set a November 17th trial date, and Campbell walked out of the courtroom surrounded by supporters. Attorney John Smith says Campbell posted a $300,000 property bond after his bond bail was lower from $1 million.
A car traveling the wrong way on Interstate 15 near Butte crashed, killing the 20-year-old driver and injuring his passenger. The Montana Highway Patrol says the driver from Alberta, Canada, was traveling northbound in the southbound lane between Boulder and Butte at about 2:50 a.m. this morning when he lost control of his car. It struck the concrete median barrier and overturned. The driver, who was not wearing a seatbelt, was partially ejected and suffered fatal injuries. His passenger, a 15-year-old boy from Arizona, was taken to the hospital in Butte. The names of those involved have not yet been released. The patrol says the vehicle's speed and alcohol use were both factors in the crash.
And now for tonight's forecast. West of the Divide, tonight rain showers are likely, and there's a chance of thunderstorms with lows in the 40s. On Friday, expect more rain showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms with highs in the mid-60s to lower 70s. In central Montana tonight, look for rain showers and isolated thunderstorms with lows 45 to 50. Friday should be mostly cloudy. There's a chance of rain showers throughout the day and thunderstorms in the afternoon with highs at 65 to 75. In southwest Montana tonight, rain showers are likely, as well as isolated thunderstorms, with lows in the 40s. On Friday, look for mostly cloudy skies and rain showers through the day, with thunderstorms in the afternoon and highs in the 60s. And now for the editorial comments of Don Sheeran.
I'm Don Sturhan with the Montana Business Leadership Council, a nonprofit organization aimed at educating Montanans about the importance of a healthy climate for business and industry in order to create more jobs, higher wages, and new opportunities for Montana. The renaissance in American energy production has already had a profound impact on our economy, jobs, and our quality of life. And projections into the future are bright, perhaps nowhere more so than right here in Montana. As long as we take some simple steps to ensure Montana's vast energy resources can reach the markets where demand is growing, then we've got some good days ahead. In April of this year, our net import of energy reached a 26-year low, and America's energy self-sufficiency continues to increase. America currently produces about 85% of the energy we consume. That's truly remarkable, considering that just 10 years ago, we imported about one-third of our energy needs. This month, North Dakota's oil production surpassed 1 million barrels a day for the first time ever. America now produces over 8 million barrels of oil a day. The turnaround in our energy self-sufficiency deserves credit, in large part from the technological breakthroughs of fracking and horizontal drilling. These two technologies have made it economical to recover oil and gas from more places. But equally important to the technology that has improved production prospects is the fact that Americans are blessed with an incredible abundance of energy, and no state is more blessed than Montana. The United States is home to some of the largest proven oil reserves in the world. For domestic oil reserves, Montana ranks 10th amongst the states. Even more significant, the U.S. has the largest coal reserves in the world, and no state has more coal than Montana. In fact, we have more than twice the coal reserves than the next closest state, our neighbor to the south, Wyoming. We have so much coal that our current rate of production, we could be mining coal in our state for another 1,600 years. The incredible energy reserves we have in our state represent the most important economic opportunity we have. Putting those resources into production will create thousands of jobs, improve the economy in every part of the state, and expand our tax base to benefit schools and government infrastructure in every Montana community. But to take advantage of that opportunity, our Montana energy resources need to be able to get to the market. There are three major issues that need our attention in order to prevent transportation hurdles from getting in the way of our prosperity. First, the Keystone XL pipeline is a no-brainer. The proposed pipeline would be an economic boon to Montana, with new jobs provided by the construction phase and by providing a healthy property tax footprint in the long term. But most significantly, Keystone XL would provide an on-ramp for Montana-produced oil to reach new markets. Second, Congress needs to authorize expanded exports of liquefied natural gas, also known as LNG. Right now, gas exports are artificially limited. Our country has never produced more natural gas than it is right now, and to continue increasing production and providing jobs, we need to be able to export a portion of that production and ship it to our allies in Europe, Asia, and elsewhere. Third, the administration and the states of Oregon and Washington need to stop delaying development and construction of the new West Coast export facilities to ship American coal to growing markets. Throughout the world, no energy source is growing faster than coal, but existing American ports are at full capacity for exports. To gain the competitive advantage of Montana's valuable coal reserves, we need the new coal ports in the West Coast. These three issues, Keystone XL, natural gas exports, and coal exports, are the most important issues that Montanans should be concerned with related to energy. You can help by communicating with your elected leaders and encourage them to act in Montana's best interest. With Montana coal valued at $1.5 trillion and our oil and gas reserves at billions more, we definitely have a lot at stake.
Don Sturhan is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Conrad Scheid.
And I'm Corin Cates Carney. Thanks for listening. And please join Edwin O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News.